Time to catch up again with Peter Dykstra and go beyond the headlines. Peter is with Environmental Health News, EHN.org and thedailyclimate.org, and joins us on the line from Conyers, Georgia. So how are you, Peter?
I'm doing all right, Steve. How about you?
Good.
You know, that drinking water crisis you were talking about earlier deserves a little bit more mention. The situation in Flint, Michigan is both a human tragedy and a political scandal. Governor Snyder is taking the heat. There are calls for his resignation. The state agency is being pummeled for moving too slowly. And the federal EPA said they didn't do anything because they thought the state was going to do something.
Okay, so that's blaming, but you know, that blame game only gets you so far.
Well, yeah, you're right. That's why I want to focus on a couple of heroes in this horrible situation. And one of them is a journalist named Kurt Guyette. He's a longtime Michigan investigative reporter. He took a job last year with an advocacy group, the Michigan ACLU, and started going door-to-door with volunteers to collect water samples for testing. And while Kurt Guyette and his volunteers were doing that, there was a pediatrician in Flint named Dr. Mona Hannah Atisha. She started testing blood lead levels in Flint's kids. The two of them put their data together, and it pointed to a huge problem and an eventual scandal.
So give credit where credit is due, but I sense that you think that maybe there's still some blame to go around.
Yeah, let me get one little bit of the blame game here. When this deal came together to bring cheaper local water to the residents of Flint, Michigan, the Flint Journal, the local newspaper, wrote an editorial saying it was a wonderful deal. They said it was carefully vetted. They said, quote, the changeover will be virtually unnoticeable. And they also said, this is a new direction for Flint.
Maybe a new direction, but ouch. Okay, what else are we going to talk about today?
I want to talk about a move in the state of Nevada that may kneecap the booming rooftop solar business that's been going on in that state and across the country.
How so?
The State Public Utility Commission voted to triple the amount that rooftop solar owners would have to pay to the state's biggest utility, NV Energy, in order to have a way to generate their own homegrown power. And at the same time, they would cut the fees that the utility pays back to rooftop solar owners when those solar owners can move electricity to the bigger grid.
You're right. That would knock rooftop solar right out of the business. So what was the reason of the Public Utilities Commission for this?
The utility makes less money on homegrown electricity. About 63% of the electricity in the state of Nevada comes from natural gas. The governor of the state of Nevada, Brian Sandoval, who's a Republican, warned the utility commission that there are a lot of new jobs coming online due to solar, and big solar companies like SolarCity have threatened to either move out or sue.
So we'll keep an eye on that one. Let's turn a leaf now on the history calendar. Peter, what do you see?
I've got something for you. It's a little bit lighter and maybe even a little tipsy. It was 2 years ago this week that a fine was levied for one of the world's most disastrous whiskey spills in a river. It took place in the Ayr River in Scotland. A tanker truck full of whiskey arrived at a bonded warehouse. There was a combination of errors. There were human errors. There were computer errors. They think it was about 5,000 liters of 134 proof whiskey. And since this was Scotland, you can probably figure out what kind of whiskey it was. The warehouse was eventually fined £12,000, which is about $20,000.
For scotching the river.
For scotching the river. And that $12,000 fine assumed some environmental damage, but nobody ever really took the time to figure out if there was any environmental damage. So I started looking at some of the flow data from the Ayr River that's available online.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of water that goes through that river, about 4.7 million gallons of water an hour, 5,000 liters of scotch whiskey in there would make the weakest $20,000 scotch and water ever.
Reminds me of what you can get served in certain establishments, Peter. But somebody must be upset that all that whiskey is sleeping with fishes.
Yeah, it's a terrible, terrible waste.
Peter Dykstra is with Environmental Health News. That's EHN.org, thedailyclimate.org. And there's more on these stories at our website, LOE.org. Peter, thanks so much for taking the time with us today. Talk to you next time.
All right, Steve, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon.